I don't know. I don't want any part of Paul's sufferings. I don't want any part of Jesus' sufferings. And Paul is saying, that's what I want. You have to have that. You have to take the good with the bad. And then he says, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So he says, to have that resurrection from the dead, I need to be conformed to his death and have fellowship with those sufferings. How do we become conformed to the... Now, tomorrow night, we'll talk in depth about baptism, but that's exactly how we become conformed to Christ's death. It's through that burial baptism. It's not about the putting away the filth of the flesh, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward God, and I'll talk in depth tomorrow night about what exactly that means. And I encourage you to come back for that. But we have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins to be conformed to his death in order that we may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Anything that gets between us and God needs to be burned. It needs to be out of the way so that we can have the relationship that we need to have with God. So I ask you this question, those plows that may be in your way, is the plow plan A? And what that means is that the plow is actually what takes precedent. So think about Elisha. See, I did it. Think about Elisha and the plow. Was the plow plan A? That's what he was doing at the time. But when Elijah comes and puts his mantle on him and wants him to follow him, he says, I'm done with that. So the plow is not plan A. Sometimes in our own lives, those plows, whether it's money or friends or jobs or whatever it is, the plow is plan A, and we give God what's left over. In Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 37, Jesus says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. Is the plow plan B? Meaning that, well, God will be plan A, but if plan A doesn't work, I can always go back to the plow. Was that what Elisha did? No, Elisha said, let's just get rid of it, because I don't want to come back. I'm not going to come back. So he knew through difficult times he was going to stay with Elijah, and he was going to be the successor to Elijah no matter what. There was no going back. And that's what it's supposed to be for a husband and wife relationship, right? But what does our world tell us? Divorce your way to a good marriage, right? If you don't like that one, just get rid of that one and try this one. If you don't like that one, get rid of that one, try this one. Plan A, plan B, plan C. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is one woman, one man, for life. That's God's plan. That's what he wants to happen. And so when we talk about the plow being plan B, in Elijah's mind, there was never a plan B, right? If God disappoints me, I can always go back. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul again talks about this person named Demas. And he says, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Having loved this present world. See, to Demas, God was plan A for a while, but plan B was always there. He always knew, I'm going back to the world if this doesn't work out. And think about following Paul around and all the trouble that Paul was going to get you into if you were following him around. And I'm sure that he got Demas into a lot of trouble in a lot of places by preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at some point, Demas says, I can't take it anymore. I'm going back to plan B. Burning the plow is about full surrender. There is no other plan. God is the plan. God's Son is the plan. There's no going back if it doesn't work out. If difficult times come, we'll get through it. I'll get through it. God will help me through it. But I'm not going to go back. We need to have the attitude that Elisha had in burning the plow and saying, I'm not going back. Somebody else is going to have to lead this team. So now number 11 in line is going to have to lead this team of oxen because I'm out. And that's the way we should be with the world. When we become children of God, we need to say, I'm out of the world and I'm following God, and leave the world where it is. Now, do we still have to involve ourselves with the world? Sure. We need to teach, we need to preach, we need to help, but we can't be a part of that world. We can interject ourselves into it at times to help, to teach, to preach, but it can't be our life. It can't be part of the plan. Where are you in answering the call that God has put forth? Are you still waiting to answer that call? You know, when Elijah throws the mantle on Elisha, he says, let me go kiss my father and mother and I'm coming. Sometimes I think a lot of us are still kissing our father and mother. We're still kind of, I plan on doing that eventually, but I'm just not ready right now. Maybe that's you tonight. Whether you're not a child of God or child of God who has fallen away and staying in the world, maybe you're still waiting. Maybe you're heading toward the call, just not quite there yet. Tonight's a good night. You have time and opportunity tonight. You have time and opportunity now. Are you in the process of burning the plows? Because you can only do that with God's help. Only God can truly help you get rid of those things. Because the sad thing about the world today is, you know what, I can, if the television is my issue, I can go burn that television, but I can also go to Best Buy tomorrow and get another one. Right? There's always another one waiting to take its place. So whatever it is for you, whether it's friends or family or jobs or